Well, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Ezekiel. We just talked about the story of dry bones. We're gonna unpack the story of dry bones today. Ezekiel chapter 37, it's the Old Testament. I'm gonna be reading from the New Living Translation, which is the one that's in your pew rack in front of you. Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14. This is one of the most interesting passages of Scripture in the Bible. And it's got a wonderful meaning for us today. Ezekiel 37, starting in verse 1. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones become living people again?" "O sovereign Lord," I replied, "you alone know the answer to that." Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, 'Dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. The skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to the wind, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies, so that they may live again.' So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken." Let's pray. Father, as we look at the words you gave Ezekiel so many years ago, I pray that you would help us to apply those to now and help us to understand what needs to happen in this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when I was reading that, could you picture that in your mind? Now, can't you just see a Hollywood version of that, computer-generated version of that? And it's a scene out of a movie, maybe like The Mummy, you know, where The Rock or somebody in a loincloth is going to go defeat all these forces from beyond the grave. That's the kind of scene that Ezekiel has been thrown into, that he has been shown. But God doesn't need CGI to make his special effects, does he? In this vision, we have the prophet Ezekiel, and in his vision, he's hovering over a valley that is filled with the remnants of some bygone battle. Nothing is left but the dried out bones of a vast army. Ezekiel's in the valley of dry bones. Of course, this is the source of the old song. Sing it with me. Them bones, them bones, them dry bones, now hear the word of the Lord. All right, good, yeah. It's an ominous and amazing experience for Ezekiel. In the midst of this very depressing scene, a scene of bones, God asked Ezekiel a very important and amazing question. Son of man, can these bones become living people again? Can life come back into something for all practical purposes doesn't even look like it ever been alive? It's just dried bones. Ezekiel gives the only sensible answer he could think of. Oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know the answer of that. Now, before we go any further, it would be good for us to clarify the background. Let's take a step back and see what's going on. What are the circumstances in which Ezekiel gets this vision? It's always helpful to try to figure out where in a passage that you're reading, where does that fit into the big picture of the Bible, as well as to the structure of the particular book that the Bible that it's in. Now, the historical setting for this passage is early, in the early part of the years that the Jewish people were in exile in Babylon. What happened is that God's chosen people, the Jews, they had forsaken God. They had turned to idols. And judgment had fallen on them. When God says that the bones represent the people of Israel, he means both the divided kingdom nations of Israel and Judah, all the descendants of Jacob. For the first 24 chapters in Ezekiel, this is the context, he writes about God's just judgment on the people of Jerusalem and Judah. Those people needed to be punished to bring them back to God. That's God's purpose for punishment, to bring people back to God. They were far from God. They were steeped in wickedness in every way. In our book, chapters 25 to 32 contain his prophecies against the seven nations that surrounded Jerusalem. This was the darkest hour of the Old Testament history of the Jews. Here's an overview of God's judgment, how it took place after many, many years of idol worship and rebellion against him. To understand this vision requires a little history lesson. So if you don't like history, you're going to get a little bit anyway, okay? Just a little bit. Nebuchadnezzar, you remember that name from the Bible. He was a king of a very powerful nation east of Israel, with its major city being Babylon. Their armies had besieged Judah and Jerusalem, as well as the other nations surrounding it. Beginning in 605 BC, groups of thousands of people from Judah were sent into exile into Babylon. Among them were Daniel and his friends. Remember his friends? The Bible, usually we remember them by their names that they were given in Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember those guys? Ezekiel himself was about the same age as Daniel. They were both contemporaries of the prophet Jeremiah. In the year 586 BC, God allowed Nebuchadnezzar and his forces to completely obliterate Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple that Solomon had built. And during that time, most of the remaining people, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, were hauled off to Babylon to join the others. Now in our book, when you get to chapters 33 to 48, the tone changes from gloom and doom and judgment to a message of comfort and hope for the future. Here we see a message of encouraging the remnant of those who are in captivity that God was not through with the Jewish people yet. Indeed, there was going to be a restoration of the covenant people of God. So in this context, that's where the vision of the dry bones occurs. The nation of Israel is in exile. They feel like it's the end. But God is giving them a promise, a return home, a new heart, and a new spirit. God asks Ezekiel this question, can these bones live? Even though the people of Judah are in exile, far away from God, the land God has promised them, scattered among the nations, exiled under the judgment of God, can these bones live? Or has God totally given up on Israel? As for the restoration of Israel depicted by these bones, like the bones in the vision, the nation of Israel would become physically and spiritually restored. They would get their land back, as well as the opportunity to worship anew in Jerusalem. Now, this happened initially for them under another king, a king by the name of Cyrus. From 586, remember that's when the temple was destroyed, to 516, that's when the temple was rebuilt under Zerubbabel. There was a timeline of 70 years as prophesied by Jeremiah. But like many prophecies in the Bible, the initial fulfillment is really a foreshadowing of an even greater fulfillment that will come in the far distant future. Israel, again, as we know, was dispersed from their land in 70 AD when the Romans destroyed it again, as Jesus had predicted. But what we have been witnessing today in our world, from the end of World War II essentially until today, is an even greater fulfillment of that prophecy of Ezekiel. And many others prophesied the same thing. God again restored Israel. The Israel we see today is a miracle. It's a miracle. Against all odds, it is unique in the history of the world that they would come together as a nation, even restoring an ancient language from all countries all over the world. It's a miracle. Also, we're seeing more and more Jewish people throughout the world who are having spiritual awakening and realizing Jesus, Yeshua, is indeed their Messiah. One day soon, we're going to see an awesome awakening among the Jews to the fact that Jesus is their Messiah. I've been spending some time on YouTube watching a number of video testimonies about that by an organization called One for Israel. It's pretty amazing. These people have been, many of them have never read Isaiah 53. And when they do, and several other passages, Daniel 9 and all these other different passages, they find out this has been hidden from them. They've been lied to. And that's exactly what they say. They've been lied to all these years. Yeshua, Jesus, is their Messiah. And many, many are coming to Christ. It's awesome to hear how those blinders have been removed. And that through their own scriptures, the thing we call the Old Testament, many are beginning to see Jesus shine through. And then when they read the New Testament, they find out, hey, this is a Jewish book too. These men who wrote this were Jews, and they found their Messiah. Many, many are coming to Christ. But what about us? What godly principles can we glean from Ezekiel's vision of dry bones? How can we apply this vision to our own world? It's a question we ask today. When we see a dryness in much of the church, we ask that same question. Can these bones live? We see a society that denies God or denies the cross or the resurrection or rejects the authority of Scripture. We ask, can these bones live? When our young people have walked away from God, we say, can these bones live? As our song we sang today says, through the eyes of man, it seems there's so much we have lost. As we look down that road where all the prodigals have walked, and one by one the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves, and we ask, can these bones live? Ezekiel gives the only right answer. O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Humanly speaking, the bones and the vision are beyond hope, aren't they? And like us, if we're depending on ourselves and our own strength, we are above all men to be pitied. We cannot bring life in ourselves. O sovereign Lord, you alone know. It's when Ezekiel submits to God, God demonstrates that he is the one who can give life to the dead. And he gives these instructions to Ezekiel. He commands Ezekiel to prophesy over those bones so that they may live. And so we see in verse 7 that Ezekiel does it, and the bones do it. The bones throughout the valley begin to rattle. And they rattle together. And then the sinews begin to form. And the flesh covers the bones. And then the skin. But the bodies, they lay there, lifeless. Completely whole, but something is missing. You remember when God created Adam from the dust and breathed into his nostrils? This is what the reformed bodies are lacking. They are merely lifeless carcasses laying there. The breath of life was not yet in them. So Ezekiel prophesied again to bring the breath on them, to bring them to life. As we sang this morning, breathe, O breath of God. Breathe, O breath of God. Breathe, O breath of God. Now breathe. Look at verse 10. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Now, what's this all about? In verse 11, God gives the explanation of this strange event. Here we have the key to understanding everything. Then he said to me, verse 11, Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. The people of Israel had lost all hope. After losing their independence and being drug off as exiles, they had no hope for the future. But God gives them here in Ezekiel a message that he will raise the people up, that he is the God who raises the dead. No one else can do it. No other God could do anything like it. This is what he says. Then you will know that I am the Lord. That phrase, then you will know that I am the Lord, occurs 65 times in various forms throughout the book of Ezekiel. So how important do you think that is? God wants to reveal himself to us as the only one who can do the miraculous. And bringing life to something dead is what God does. It's what God does. Whenever we see the word Lord in capital letters, it's the covenant name of God, as we might say Yahweh or Jehovah. And that name is used here so that they will know he is the covenant-keeping God. He will show that when he keeps his covenant with his people, he will prove it. And he raises them from the dead, and he gives them his spirit. The work of raising the spiritually dead is something only God can do. And it's something that we must pray for him to do. When we look at the city around us, this canyon or this country or our world, we see everywhere men, women, boys and girls who are dead spiritually. There's a Hebrew word that's used several times in this passage. The word is ruach. Where it says, speak a prophetic message to the winds are ruach. That's the word. When it uses the word breath in our translation, they're translating the word ruach. When it says in verse 14, I will put my spirit in you, again the word ruach. The winds, the breath, the spirit of God are all indicated with the same word ruach. And it's the word that's used throughout the Old Testament to describe the Spirit of God. A forceful wind. Think of the day of Pentecost and the Spirit coming like a mighty wind. It is the Spirit of God himself. That's what ruach means. It is the Spirit of God that makes the transformation, turning the dry bones into a living, breathing army. And it is the Spirit of God called into action by us, obedience and prayer, that will transform us, will transform our canyon, will transform our country from death to life. As Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, as for you, that's us, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. In John 6, 63, Jesus said, "The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human efforts accomplish nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life." Now, nobody can make themselves alive spiritually, can they? No more than have those dry bones tried to perform CPR on themselves. Couldn't happen, could it? It's impossible. The breath of God is the thing, the only thing that can breathe life into us. It takes His intervention, His intervention. By nature, by ourselves, we are dead. Just like those lifeless bodies, we are dead in our sins. We need the power of God, the covenant Lord, Yahweh, to give us life, to breathe His Spirit into us. Just as Jesus died and was raised to new life, so we must be born anew, raised to new life in Jesus. The sentence of death that we deserved, having been paid by Him. On the day of Pentecost, God kept His promise, the promise He made to bring new life by giving us His Spirit. That day the Holy Spirit was given to the church and 3,000 were saved in one day. Now as we long to see people saved, our loved ones saved, our community saved, our canyon saved, as we earnestly desire people to be brought from darkness to light, we need to recognize that it must be a work of God, the work of the Holy Spirit. We cannot bring the transformation of new life. Now we're doing this Daniel fast. Some of you haven't done it yet. There is still time. There's still a week left. You can lay aside something and pray. And won't you fast and pray with me that God will move mightily on all those precious lives He wants to save, that many will be raised to life as they trust in Jesus and the Spirit of God, receive the Spirit of God. The rest of our theme song reminds us that though we don't see anything but darkness sometimes, God is still at work. That second verse says, "But we know that You are God. Yours is the victory. We know there is more to come that we may not yet see. So with the faith You've given us, we step into the valley unafraid. God of endless mercy, God of unrelenting love, rescue every daughter. Bring us back those wayward sons. And by Your Spirit breathe upon them. Show the world that You alone can save." We cry out to dry bones, "Come alive, come alive." We call out to dead hearts, "Come alive, come alive. Up out of the ashes, let us see an army rise." We call out dry bones, "Let it come alive." Let's bind together in faith and believe for a great miracle that only God can do. In verse 9, God told Ezekiel, "Speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again." Right here is a picture of our role through prayer, through proclamation, through prophecy and belief in seeing the work of God done. God could have asked Ezekiel, "Hey, do you think these dry bones could live?" Then maybe he could have just stood back and said, "Okay, watch this. Rattle, rattle, knit, knit. There you go." But he didn't do it that way. He employed man. He employed Ezekiel. And he employs us. He said, "You, Ezekiel, speak it out. Speak it out. Call the Spirit into action." That's what we need to do today. We need to call the Spirit into action. Prophesy over your people. We need to prophesy over our people today. Every revival that has ever taken place has had that same human component, the component of men and women of God, setting aside their earthly agendas and calling on the Spirit to come into action, calling the Holy Spirit to action, calling out through fasting and praying for the Holy Spirit to do what He does, to bring true spiritual life to the lifeless, to do what only He can do. Raise up a generation to redemption.